Hello, and welcome to the French Kiss Life podcast, all about living with more elegance, style, and joie de vivre in your everyday life. I'm Tanya Lee, your hostess. Let's get started. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I am so excited about today's topic. It is something that I struggled with for a long time, and based on a lot of conversations that I've had with some of you all, some clients, as well as friends, I know I'm not alone in this. So here's what we're talking about today. I want to talk about FOMO. You know what that is, right? Well, even if you don't, I'm about to tell you. But more specifically, I want to talk about six ways that you can say goodbye to your FOMO. So I was reminded how far I've come with this when I recently received two incredible invitations. The first one was a group of girlfriends had rented an incredible Airbnb in Santa Fe for a fun girls' weekend getaway. And then the other invitation came from Glenn. Yes, my man asked me to go camping with the dogs in Moab, as he'd heard me say on several occasions that I just wanted to disconnect and roam in the desert for a bit. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to spend time in the desert. It was a place that I used to not really be drawn to, but just based on where we live, we're so close to the desert. And having started spending time there, I realized how grounding the desert is for me. It's such a spiritual place, and the sunsets are to die for. So there I was with two fabulous choices and one important decision to make. Now, these types of situations used to spin me into hours, even days of torture, all because I was afraid of making the wrong decision. Can you relate? And do you know what this is called? It's a form of FOMO. And FOMO is an acronym for the fear of missing out. And it is such a huge epidemic in our modern society. And it's crazy making for me and for anyone I've ever known that had it. I mean, is it just me, or is it sad that we're living in a world where we're constantly living in fear? In fact, FOMO is such a big deal in today's age that it earned a place in the Oxford Dictionary. And here's the definition that they gave FOMO. It's the fear of missing out, anxiety that an exciting or interesting event may be happening elsewhere, often aroused by posts seen on social media websites. FOMO will cause you to do things that, when you think about it, just don't make sense. Like picking up your phone first thing in the morning before you've even kissed your lover, given your kids a hug, to check out what happened on Facebook while you were sleeping. Or refreshing your email every 5 minutes just in case someone is trying to contact you, as if you're that important in the big world. Or you may stay at an event long after you're bored just in case something might happen. And just an FYI, it rarely does. Or maybe you find yourself on the phone while sitting at the table with your friends to see if anything cooler is happening. Or you camp out in front of the Apple store to be the first in line to buy the latest and greatest iPhone. Let's see what else. Oh, you're always saying, "I'll let you know," to invites just in case something better comes along. Or you say yes to things even though your body is giving you a very clear no, because you don't want to miss an opportunity. Or maybe you spend more time on social media than you do in your real life with your family and friends. Let's see, what are some other signs of FOMO? Oh, you suffer extreme anxiety and depressing thoughts when you scroll through your Instagram feed. That is a sign of FOMO. This one is for the business ladies. You find yourself constantly checking out your main competitor on Facebook or Instagram just to see what she's up to. Or you hear someone mention that they're going to that cool networking event and suddenly you feel so much doom and you begin to think about how she's making all of the connections and seizing the opportunities that you will never have. So you hop on your computer to see if you can get a last minute ticket. Maybe you lose sleep thinking about all the books and projects and dreams you'll never get to. Then while you're on vacation, you're thinking about work, and while you're at work, you're thinking about vacation. These are all terrible signs of FOMO, but it can get worse. A serious case of FOMO can actually induce paralysis. Just like for my friend Margaret, she suffers greatly from the inability to make decisions. She couldn't decide where to go to dinner. What if she chose that new Italian place and realized that their cannellonis aren't as good as the place she's gone to for years? So this kind of thought process would cause her to either skip going out altogether, or someone would have to step up to the plate and make the decision on her behalf. And then when it came to planning vacations, my goodness, she would go temporarily insane. What if she picked the wrong hotel, or God forbid, the tour she chose didn't meet her expectations? Finally, her husband just went on hotels.com and he just booked it for them. But here's the thing, she's also a brilliant writer and she had dreams of authoring a book, but she couldn't decide on one of her five brilliant ideas. What if she picked the wrong one? Her book still hasn't been written. She was so terrified of missing out that she often did. The irony, right? Maybe you can relate to Margaret. This is a classic case of FOMO. And you know what? My name is Tanya and I'm a recovering FOMO addict. I know from experience how debilitating it can be, even when your life is going really well. Here's how I used to think about it. I would be sitting at home in the States, surrounded by the people I love the most in the world, thinking I should be overseas in Paris. And then I'd be sitting in a cute little cafe in Paris, thinking that I should be home with the people I love the most. Can you relate? It's like a no-win situation, and nothing will drive you crazier than being in one place and thinking you should be elsewhere. And yet, this is the way so many people live. When I suffered from FOMO, I didn't realize it at first. I just thought that I was a girl on the move with a lot of dreams. My mantra was so many opportunities, not enough time. Framing my FOMO as a pure passion for life made it seem normal and legitimate. But living a life full of fear is not normal and should be called out. Years ago, a friend said to me, and I'll never forget it, she said, "Tanya, you're always running. Your grass is greener mentality is exhausting." That was like a big love slap in the face. And you know what? Thank goodness for the people in my life who have offered me so much tough love. It's why I love to dish it out to you, because when you know the person offering it really cares about you, you start to pay attention. So, do you think you're suffering from FOMO? Here's what you must do about it, because it is a horrible existence. You know, for me personally, I didn't want to be that woman who missed what was in front of her because I thought I should be elsewhere, or being on my phone at the dinner table checking out my Facebook, or, you know, the woman who was constantly thinking her life was never good enough, or who was never really present. So the first step to overcoming FOMO is to admit you have a problem. You know, for me, it was causing me to suffer from anxiety and a perpetual feeling of not enough, disconnection in relationships, also unfinished projects, unrealized dreams, and, you know, overall, it was a poor quality of life. Even though on the outside, it seemed like it was amazing, it's how I felt on the inside. And I knew I had to stop my FOMO madness. Now, I'm an ambitious gal, and I love constantly expanding and growing. However, I had to take a step back and examine the energy behind my choices. And I have a very simple question that allows me to do this. And the question is, am I doing this out of love or fear? And like most things in life, it's not black and white. Sometimes my choices were based on absolute joy, and at other times it was fear-driven. Seeing the trips and opportunities and experiences others were having often influenced my choices to go harder and faster. I didn't want to trade in my ambition for what I was thinking would be laziness or satisfaction. I'm the gal who loves being a little hungry for life, but I also didn't want to make choices based on trying to outlive others. You know, it makes me think about my childhood, and maybe you can relate, but I grew up in a very small community, and this was pre-internet and cell phones. So I had nothing really to compare my life to except the fantasies found in magazines and TV shows. You know, I looked around and it seemed like we were all living about the same kind of life. My childhood years were simple and full, and I was still ambitious, but it was internally driven. I didn't feel the anxiety and pressure of keeping up or being one-upped in the living department. However, in our modern era of technology, changing at the speed of light and everyone posting every moment of their day, I unconsciously jumped on that train for a bit, completely abandoning my own life. And one of the things that I've also seen, because I have a, almost 20-year-old daughter, it's crazy to think about, but I've seen how this has impacted their lives. You know, she gets on Snapchat and she sees that her friends are in a, at a party like on the East Coast, and it can really bug her. And I've had to really, you know, support her in understanding this is your life. And if you're constantly looking outside of yourself and comparing your life to others, you're never going to win. You may win in your mind occasionally if you feel like what you're doing is really cool, but, you know, we are all living pretty ordinary lives on a day-to-day basis, right? And there's always going to be someone that's doing something cooler than you. And so seeing my daughter go through this, as well as friends and clients and myself, I think it's time that we trade our FOMO in for something else. And what that something else is the term JOMO, which is the joy of missing out. Now, unfortunately, this term hasn't made it to the Oxford Dictionary yet, but I think if enough of us adopt this way of living, I'm hoping one day it will. But here's my definition. The joy of missing out is a pleasure that you gain from enjoying where you are in this moment right now, without worrying about what other people are doing or that other people are living a more fulfilled life. When I finally realized how I was missing out on my life because of fear, I committed to practicing the opposite, the joy of missing out. And to me, this is about making your inner world, how you feel, more important than anything that's going on outside of you. So JOMO can show up like this: feeling so grateful that you have many opportunities and knowing that you really can't choose the wrong one. You're going to learn something no matter what restaurant you choose or what book you decide to write or what hotel you book. It's also spending your Sundays reading books, not status updates. It's that warm, fuzzy feeling that you get when you say no to the party because you can't wait to cuddle with your dogs and watch a great movie. It's being so in the moment, not once do you think about what other people are doing. It's also making swifty decisions instead of tormenting yourself for days like I used to do. And it's also asking yourself, what do I love about this moment, instead of constantly looking for a new one? So I wanted to give you six ways to practice JOMO, the joy of missing out. These are mantras that I deeply believe in, and I started saying them to myself on a regular basis, especially when I started to feel the feelings of FOMO kick in and realizing I needed to train my brain for something else. These mantras have helped me create true joie de vivre, and I'm certain that they can help you too. So here's the first one. The party is within me. This is one of my favorite ways to cultivate more JOMO, because if the party is within me, this means that no matter where I am or where I go, I will experience fun and joy because that's what I get to bring to every moment of my life. You can have it all because you already have it within you. The second one is, I'm always where I'm supposed to be. When I'd hear those old thoughts of you should be here or you're missing out or didn't you hear about that great party over there, I'd remind myself that I'm always where I'm supposed to be. And how do I know that? Because it's where I am in this moment. If I were meant to be somewhere else, that's where I'd be. So obviously, in this moment, right here, right now, I'm supposed to be here. The next one is, what's for me will not pass me. Last year, I decided not to go to this big invite-only event that I've been going to for years. And there are big names there like Jeff Bezos. Is it Bezos or Bezos? Whatever his name is. It's so big, I don't know how to pronounce it. Who else was there? Shonda Rhimes, Brené Brown, just to name a few. When my friends called me to tell me that they had registered and to inquire if I was going, my body was sending me a clear no. I was not meant to go. Now, in times past, I would have gone anyway, and I would have had a great time, but I chose to honor something deeper, my soul, my intuition. And I reminded myself that if there's an opportunity out there that is meant for me, it will find me. I don't have to go out there and make it happen. I don't have to make myself miserable and make decisions out of fear, because I really believe that what's for me will not pass me. And I think the best way to attract opportunities is to honor yourself, to honor your intuition. Okay, the next mantra is disconnect, Tanya. And for you, disconnect, insert your name. When you run a company like I do, you can often find yourself tied to technology way more than what is healthy. You know, even today with my love of joie de vivre, I have to remind myself to step away. And I love social media. I love connecting with the community and friends from all over the world. But I also know too much of a thing is not always a good thing. And so I tell myself disconnect, because I know my mind will just keep wanting to keep me there. And so disconnect, Tanya, allows me to turn off my phone, shut down my laptop, and disconnect from the noise of the world and connect to myself and the people I love the most, who are right with me physically in my everyday life. I often use this one around 5 p.m. every day and then on weekends. Disconnect Tanya is often at the back of my mind because I personally believe that we'd all be a lot happier if we did. The next mantra is, this is my life. This phrase reminds me that I get to choose how I spend my time. I want to invest in the people and causes and things that I care the most about. Not on things, do you hear my dog? Winston. Shh, stop. Where was I? I was talking about investing in things. Yeah, I want to invest in the people that I really love the most, the causes I care about, not on things that I feel pressured out of fear to engage with. I want to make choices that energize me, not drain me. This may mean saying yes to an event or to staying at home with the dogs. Again, there is no formula, but you must know who you are and what's important to you and what you want to experience in this lifetime, because this is your life. And then the last mantra is slow down. And this is something I talk about a lot, but you need to know, just by nature, I'm a very fast-paced girl. My dad is 6 feet 6 inches tall, so he's really tall guy. And from a young age, I had to walk really fast to keep up with him. And I love going fast in life until I crash and I burn and I realize that I was racing towards the wrong thing. I often talk about slowing down on this podcast, as I believe that we all need to stop and take a deep breath and take in this moment. However, when I speak about slowing down, one of the other ways you can look at it is that it's the intention and energy that can create a feeling of slowness. I repeat this to myself often as a reminder to take in this moment, be present, to really experience my life as it is right now, because what if this moment is the best thing ever and we don't realize it because we're just speeding through it? Really think about that. I often think back to moments that I've had, and looking back, they were amazing. But in my mind at that time, just because I know who I was at that time, I probably didn't realize it. Another way I look at this is, what if I decided that this moment is amazing all of the time, right? Like this moment right here with my podcast microphone and my latte that I made and my dog barking in the background. What if this is the most amazing moment ever and I decide to see it that way? Pretty powerful, right? And to me, the only way to create that is to slow down and take it in. Okay, so those are my 6 mantras to help you say bye-bye to your FOMO. And what I can tell you is that there are fantastic results that happen when you practice consistent JOMO, the joy of missing out. because I've been doing it for a while now, and I'm delighted to report some of the benefits that I've experienced that far outweigh anything I've had to give up. So for me, my daily life allows me room to read books that I never had time to enjoy before, also enjoy simple moments with my family. I also take walks with my dog. I leave my phone behind and we go romping in the woods. I have time to work on creative projects that I'm passionate about. And most importantly, I have time to just simply be, which before when I was suffering with FOMO, I didn't have time for that. I always needed to be on the go. And it was driven out of so much fear. Let's see what else. Well, for me, I get to celebrate others when I see them living large instead of feeling immense jealousy or loss, because I know that I too am living large in my own way, because again, I know that the party lives within me all of the time, and I get to decide that every moment is amazing. Isn't that amazing? Other things I've benefited with is I'm more focused actually in my work life because I'm staying in my own lane and I'm making choices out of joy and not fear. I don't look at what anyone else is doing in my space. It messes with my creative mojo. It is definitely driven out of FOMO. And so I just don't look. I don't spend time on social media checking out what so-and-so is doing. I stay in my own lane. And because of that, I am so much more focused and so much happier in my business. I'm definitely more relaxed and joyful. And yes, life feels a lot more elegant as well. So even if you don't suffer from FOMO, these mantras can help you with focus and decision-making and just giving you an overall sense of a better quality of life. So go out there and practice JOMO. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. One last thing, in case you were wondering where I chose to go a few weekends ago, you know what? The answer doesn't really matter because you and I both know I had a great time. So thank you for tuning in for today's podcast. I look forward to seeing you in the next one. Go out there and French kiss life and practice some JOMO. Cheers, everyone. One more thing before you saunter away. Have you grabbed your membership to the French Kiss Life Club? If not, what are you waiting for? It's free, it's fun, and it's first class. Head over to frenchkisslife.com/club. And as soon as you join, I'm going to be sending you a copy of the French Kiss Life Manifesto straight to your inbox.